Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning and welcome once again to Spirit Mornings here in Omaha. I'm Bruce McGregor over in ROMA. It's
Bruce McGregor.
Hi, honey.
Hello, my dear. Guess where I'm sitting right now?
Rome?
Well, I am. I think I'm sitting right in the heart of Rome, to be honest with you. I am with my dear, dear friend Denise Wharton, and it is twilight, and we are sitting at the base of the obelisk in the middle of St. Peter's Square.
Wow.
It's not really square. The piazza.
The piazza.
Oh, it's absolutely magnificent. The lights on the Vatican are just beginning to light up, and it is breathtaking. And I think Denise is pointing to the Pope's bedroom. She thinks he's just getting ready to watch some television or something. But
wave to the Pope, Denise.
Yeah, wave to the Pope, Denise, Bruce said. Yeah, she's waving. But we've had such an extraordinary day today. It just seems we're just sitting out here now just kind of reflecting on everything that happened. And I just have to say that our Lord is so good. I understand now why he sent us out two by two, because it has been such a blessing for me to be with a dear woman who has traveled and explored and seen some incredible things and some experiences, and you're not supposed to do it alone. And I know that, honey, I love you so much, and I wish you were here with me, but I know how you don't like airplanes and you don't like confined places, and frankly, that's all we had today was confined places. But if you couldn't be here, I'm so glad that Denise is here with me.
I am too.
We had an incredible morning, actually. We started out going to having another wild taxi ride and got to the Church of St. Cecilia. And it's so awesome because all of Rome is so busy and everything is so hectic. And then just off the street, just a little bit, you go into a courtyard and it is peaceful. It's so quiet. And yet something so profound has happened at this location that it touched the lives of Christians for centuries. And it touches our lives today at our Archdiocese of Omaha, who this beautiful woman who is, we are blessed to have as our patroness. It is just St. Cecilia. I wish everybody from Omaha to come to this place.
Well, I trust you're taking a lot of pictures, too.
Oh, taking a lot of pictures, yes. Taking a lot of pictures. But, you know, thanks to Denise, she's making me focus in on praying, too. Because, I mean, I think that's what you have to do at these wonderful shrines. I mean, that's why they erected these glorious edifices, so that we would take time to enter into prayer and to touch heaven. And with St. Cecilia, if you don't know her story, I mean, here she was, a 16-year-old girl who lived in essentially wealthy family in a part of Rome which some would say, oh, I don't know, maybe just outside of the busiest part of Rome. Really nice area. And she gave her life over to Jesus. And this is over in the year, month two. I mean, so it's very recent in Christian history. And she gave her life over to Christ and wanted to give all of herself, and that includes her virginity to him. And her father wanted her to marry a nobleman that would increase the wealth of the family and the prestige. And she was in turn betrothed to a man named Valerian, who was not real happy on his wedding night to hear that his young bride had given herself over to Christ. And yet, because of her joy, because of her influence, he was converted. His heart was touched by Christ, and together they were a couple who touched the lives of many around them. But at a time of persecution, when that was not popular, when that was not what she did, in a government that had a different vision of who to worship, they would eventually be persecuted, and Valerian was killed, and Cecilia was told to renounce her faith, and she would not do that. And she helped the poor, and she was very, very popular in the area, and by her not doing that, it was a real slap in the face to the government, and they needed to change that. So they placed her in a steam bath in her home, shut the door, and thought they would suffocate her. And she did not die. They opened the door a day or so later, and she had not died. She was still very healthy and would not renounce her faith. And so they lost patience with her and sent an executioner to the home where we visited today and attempted to decapitate her. And in Roman times, it sounds so barbaric, but if there was 3 attempts to decapitate someone, chopping your head off with a sword is very messy and it's not very effective.
Right.
But if you could live, if you lived after the 3rd try, then you were spared your life. For the very first time, Saint Cecilia was one who lived. And they ran out of the courtyard of her home, and they were seeing miracles. And the Christians came in the surrounding area, came to her. And if you've ever been in the presence of someone who is in the process of dying, and you and I have, Bruce,
yes,
I would imagine that type of grace in those people that are walking close with God must have been the same type of grace that the people experienced in St. Cecilia, because she lived for another 3 days. Pope Urban, who was, remember, this was not the time of the glorious churches. It was the time of church militants being persecuted and martyred. You know, he came to her, and she bequeathed everything to him and to the church, encouraged them to sing the psalms, encouraged them to pray. And she showed them how to do it, and then she died. And many people know the story of her being taken out to catacombs out there, and for many years did not know where she was and all the other bodies of the other martyrs. Meanwhile, they erected one of the first house churches in the area, and they would continue to build on this and build on this, and it is today still has many elements of the different ages. But St. Cecilia continues to be venerated in this town and throughout the world, and rightly so. She was one of the first really well-documented, well-recorded cases of the Virgin Martyrs. The witness of the Virgin Martyrs, like St. Cecilia, I would say she was probably, in a way, even though she was a virgin, she was the mother of those virgin martyrs, like St. Agnes, like Agatha, and so many others, who by their sacrifice of their lives and their witness to others really began to change the heart of the people surrounding them to end the barbarity. But it began with St. Cecilia, and we had a tremendous blessing today, Bruce, of being able to go down into the excavations right beneath where the basilica has been built, and actually walk the home that St. Cecilia lived in, and to be able to actually enter into that bath chamber where they tried to kill her, and that God saved her. And another touching thing, too, we also walked the courtyard where her death was attempted, where they tried to kill her. Really, it's peaceful and it's calm, and it's kind of jarring to know that 1,800 years ago such a heinous act happened, but yet the triumph is not the executioners. I mean, the emperor can't even be really recalled, but the name of Cecilia lives on today and well for many, many more generations.
Yeah. It's an amazing story.
Well, and that's not all, because, I mean, the story of Cecilia is that when they went to build the church, build the basilica, they went in the 800s, they went to claim her body out of the catacombs, but they weren't sure where she was. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Pope Sylvester who had a dream about, they desperately wanted to find her to bring her back to rest in her home, back in the church.
Right.
And Pope Sylvester had a dream about her actual location in the catacombs, and I was very blessed last year to be able to enter into those catacombs where that they indeed found her. When they found her, she was incorrupt. One of the first real strong records of an incorrupt body of a saint. And it was such a strong message, they brought her back and put her in a reliquary. Well, 500 years later, they went to continue to build on to this basilica and enhance it. And at that time, they opened up the reliquary, and she was still incorrupt, laying in the same position she had all those many years ago when they first laid her in the catacombs in her tomb there.
Wow.
A strong witness, and the sculptor was there to capture that, what that looked like. And there's such a serene peace and beauty. That sculpture today can be seen in churches throughout the world, but also to know that it's underneath, it's beautifully displayed under this wonderful altar in Trastevere, which is in the northern part of Rome, and to know that below even that lies that beautiful witness of Christ's love. And the glory of that seed of martyrdom that he, you know, planted for so many. I mean, he's right there. To be able to pray there and to be in her church, there's just nothing like it. I mean, you feel Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just the beginning of the day, Bruce. That was just the beginning of the day. Yeah, he prayed a rosary there, too.
Oh, beautiful.
So, you know, having Denise there, you know, he's the ultimate prayer partner. So, would you like to talk to Denise?
I would love to do that.
Hi, Bruce.
Denise, how are you?
I'm doing more than better. It's so beautiful here. I wish you were with me. This day has been packed. We're sitting on the concrete outside the Vatican because there's no stairs. But it's beautiful. And today we hit quite a few churches, and we went to St. John Lateran with Deb and Jerry Cosney. And that church is so beautiful. They say the heads of Peter and Paul are in there above the altar. And there's so many statues of all the saints in there. And they've got side chapels dedicated to different saints.
Mm-hmm.
And one that just struck me was a chapel dedicated to St. Francis.
Oh.
And Chris came in and prayed the stations with me. And Debbie Cosney opened my eyes and my heart to different paintings on the walls and different statues in there. And, oh, I just wish I could express to you just how beautiful everything is. This has been such an exciting time with Chris. A lot of prayer, but a lot of fun.
Right.
And, you know, God says balance, Benedictine rule. You play hard, you play hard. So we've been really balancing it out just fine.
Now, Denise, is this your first trip to Rome?
No, actually, this is my third trip.
Third trip, wow.
And but I've never have been to all four basilicas, and I've never been to St. Paul, which is outside the wall. And we went there with Father Andrew Rosa yesterday, and that's just wowing. It's so beautiful. And so today concluded our fourth basilica, and that was St. John Lateran. And then after that, we proceeded to come back to the Vatican, and we went to the Scave tour, which was amazing. Father Andrew got some tickets for us, and we went down there around 3:45 in the afternoon, and it was down to the very lowest level of the underneath the regular Vatican church. And we actually got to see the bones of St. Peter.
Wow.
That was amazing. And Deacon Jerry Cosney led us all in prayer at the very end. We got to pray in there and with the other pilgrims that were there. And it was just amazing. They have all these hidden chapels down there, too,
mm-hmm.
that are open from 7 to 9 in the morning. That it's open to the public. Anybody can go in there and go to Mass. It was just amazing. So
yeah.
Chris and I have been to the very, very top of the Vatican, the cupola, which I'm telling you was that was a journey.
That's like what 3,000 stairs? Did I hear something like that?
Yes, I mean it's so incredibly exhausting, and as you get higher and higher up into the dome, the stairs start to get smaller and narrower,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like going into the Statue of Liberty, but a little bit more intense because it goes higher. And you literally have to turn your body in. But the view, it's worth it because the view up there is so spectacular because you are behind all the statues that when people see the Vatican on the news, they see all those statues right above the church of the saints and Jesus.
Right.
And you're behind those and above them, you know, overlooking all of Rome, which is absolutely fabulous. So I cannot tell you how awesome it is. The very top of our church and to the very bottom and praying there with the intercession of St. Peter and with my dear friend Chris. And we've gotten close to prayer, so that is good.
That's always wonderful. And I know personally I was grateful. That was one of the big reasons that, that you two are going to be traveling together is that for those who don't know Denise, she is such a person of strong and unwavering faith. And a very, very prayerful person. And I mean, that's a dimension, Denise, that we really all need to bring to our lives. And I think really being in the heart of Rome and surrounded by all the saints and the history of the Catholic Church just brings that forward almost naturally, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's just amazing to see. I feel so grateful to be in the faith that I'm in. I mean, it's such a gift to have the Eucharist, which is really the center of all these churches here in Rome. And we actually stumbled across a Mass today in St. Ignatius' church.
Mm-hmm.
And the bell rang, and we ran into the chapel and went to Mass. And Chris kind of missed out because she knew she had to call in, and she was running to the Pantheon to get a hold of you. And I said, I'll offer my Eucharist for you, Chris, the poor thing. He's still working, although he's on vacation.
Yeah.
But it's just so, I feel so blessed. And to see all these holy priests and seminarians and nuns just walking around here through the streets, it's like a piece of heaven.
Yeah.
And I just feel grateful to be a part of this. And I feel God's blessing here just by Chris's invitation, asking me to come with her, and or me kind of forcing myself on her a little bit. But it's just so good. It's so holy. I wish I could bring everybody here.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you hear the word Rome, and you've just got to go, right?
Yeah, and boy, did we roam around Rome. We got lost a million times. I mean, seriously, we really did, especially today.
Well, I want to know if Chris has pulled out her compass yet to figure out where she was.
No, where's your compass, Chris? The intentions were there, and we were missing it quite often, but it's kind of fun to get lost here because you stumble across the neatest churches. I mean, there's always something to see somewhere, and
mm-hmm.
I can see it's just part of God's plan. Even though we're lost and frustrated, we can find Jesus in one of these Catholic churches and go in and pray, and he kind of puts us right back into balance.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Are you keeping your eye on Chris's gelato and espresso consumption here as well, Denise?
Well, you know, I have to say, Bruce, Chris loves her espresso.
Yep.
She must have a stomach of steel because she does them like they're just gumdrops. And she loves them. And she's just like, I love my coffee.
Yeah, she does.
And she drinks them straight up, you know? And I'm not a big espresso drinker, but I've enjoyed watching her.
In the shadows of a pro there, huh?
Right. And the gelato, of course, she did look at me at a point today with just desperate eyes and said, I haven't had my gelato yet. I said, okay, don't worry, we'll get some at the end of the day. Because today we were really kind of trying to get on our schedule and see our last things and go to that. And then Chris and I went out and bought a bunch of stuff in the store that all the stores close here, like, I think before 8.
Right.
And Chris said, I think there might be some shops to the left of the Vatican. So we went over there and bought a bunch of stuff so we could have it blessed tomorrow by the Pope. And we actually got great seats
for the Wednesday audience, yeah.
The Wednesday audience, and I don't know who pulled strings, if it was Father Andy or whoever, but we got some great seats right up on the, I don't know, it's like on the very top podium area where our Holy Father will be speaking. We're going to be like eye level with him. So we're going to come here early to try to get as close to the front as we can of that really close section. So.
Well, that'll be great. And Denise, also, I know we have a lot of people knowing that you had taken ill for a short period of time there, and we got the prayer warriors going, and that seemed to pass pretty quick, so praise God for that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bruce, because I truly think I ate some bad seafood.
Oh, okay.
One night, because, oh my gosh, I literally spent a little bit too much time in the room. But, hey, praise God, everything's temporary, except for him. So I feel much better.
Well, we're glad you're back in the pink, and things are going wonderfully. So, you know, we'll look forward to getting your thoughts on the Wednesday audience. Of course, our Holy Father has great words for everybody during that audience, and also some teaching to go along with it as well.
Absolutely. Can't wait to hear him and see him and just receive all those graces that come with that great gift.
All right.
So thank you so much, Bruce. What's fabulous about this group is that Denise and I have seen so many different nationalities. It's like the world comes to Rome. All roads still lead to Rome. Amazing. And as you're in the church, especially within St. Peter's, you see so many people who have come from all over. And even those people who are maybe, they don't have an overt spirituality about them. You don't see them praying or doing anything, but something calls them to this place. Something,
right.
Not just the architecture, not just the statement, but there's something that is that compels you to come here. And it does the job it was intended to do. It lifts your heart and mind to God. And that is so, to those generations, those people who put this for us. Because, you know, Denise and I are sitting at the base of the obelisk, and it's twilight now, and the stars are just starting to come out, and groups of people are walking by us. And this is a place of, that was for a time of death. This is this Nero Circus. This was a place where one side there was a city of death, a necropolis, where the mausoleum of the pagans were. And at one point, there was a body that lay in a grave, in a pauper's grave, essentially. And that was of the great man who had faith one day to walk on water and got a little shaky, but was an example for us all, and one who denied Christ three times, but yet would turn around and be one of the greatest witnesses of faith, and who would be executed upside down in this place where we're at right now. It has been transformed into a witness. And it's amazing. We went down that Save tour, Bruce, and I just have to thank Father Andrew Rosa for once again being a pastor for us, a priest for us, and continuing to show us not only the beauties of our church, but continually pointing us to Jesus Christ. I mean, he arranged for us to be able to get down there. And when we're down there, you literally, as Denise alluded to it, you go down these steps, and the excavations are just remarkable. I can't get into everything that points to the solid evidence that this is indeed St. Peter down here. But there's one point where you turn your head and you look and you see, with orange light as you see, this was the tomb of Peter.
Right.
And it takes your breath away. And this tomb is underneath the altar. And right above us, as we were doing all that, Mass is being celebrated at the altar, under the Baldacchino. There's a chamber where we can turn around and you look up. You see, not only through the base, you can see all the way up to the top of the dome of St. Peter's, way from us being underground.
Wow.
And underneath the interior, he is built. The church is built not only on this man, this rock, but it is on the rock. It's not just symbolism. There's something so incredibly powerful about it. And then you look over, and there's a point in the tomb, you see, literally, see the bones of St. Peter. And I couldn't help it. I mean, I got choked up. When this was revealed to the church, when the discovery was made, they were burying Pius XI,
mm-hmm.
The year is 1939. It is the beginning of World War II. Throughout World War II, there is this tremendous carnage occurring on the face of the earth. Beneath the Vatican, Pius XII has authorized, and we need to find this. We need it for these people to give them solid proof of this rock. After being covered up and buried for, even though the church had always taught that it was here, after this time when there was been such a great Holocaust and destruction, at a time when we have the ability to annihilate ourselves with nuclear weapons, at a time when we're allowing abortion to occur, God gives us just one more sign of something we've always known. He gives us this, see, this is real. There's reasons to believe. And he gives us, you know, a gift in saying that, yes, you can feel confident because I have grounded you in this crazy world, in this world of chaos and self-indulgence and loss of control, and you can anchor yourself on this rock. You need proof? Here it is. And it's the bones of a 70-year-old man who was very strong. They did the, for all you skeptics out there, they've done the carbon dating. It dates back to about 2,000 years ago, and he died a hard death.
Yeah.
That's what those bones tell us. Not only the graffiti that points to it, and the thing is, the feet are missing.
Yep.
The feet are missing from the skeletons of this person, this 70-year-old man, this strong 70-year-old man who died at about the exact same time we anticipated that there was the death of St. Peter. And his feet are missing. Now, why are his feet missing? Because he was crucified upside down. And the best way and the easiest way for Romans to, who are carrying out a death sentence on someone and they don't want to chop it down, is just chop the feet off.
Yep.
And take the body down. They buried it. That man is here. It is testament to everything that we've experienced on this trip. And we still, there's still more. I mean, Denise and I, again, we get to see the successor to St. Peter. We get to listen to his words tomorrow. And the Holy Father is speaks to us all, speaks to the world, near the very same spot. And then we are going to, Denise and I are taking off. We're going to figure out what we're going to do. And I think we might be going outside the walls and maybe visiting places like St. Agnes.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful. And her catacombs in St. Lawrence, the deacon who was martyred. This is the city of the saints.
Yep.
And it is probably some, Denise and I will probably end up running our own tour agency someday. I'll guide him and still pray him.
Sounds like a dynamic duo to me.
Oh, yeah, pray. I mean, that's the thing that I've really come away from. You can walk around Rome and go, ooh, look at that, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. But if you don't stop and pray, then you've missed the whole idea.
Yeah.
It's the thing that Denise has been my great champion and my great instructor on this thing, is to keep me focused on praying. And so I just you know, yeah, I hope everyone will indulge me this brief moment to thank Tom Morton for letting me borrow his wife for these days. And I'll bring her back, but don't be surprised if I bring her back here again, Tom. So, you know.
All right, honey. Well, it's great to hear from you, and thanks for all the great information, and we look forward to your recap from Wednesday in Rome.
Yes, and if we're real lucky and we pray it hard, Father Andrew Rosa might be able to get a break from his exams and join us tomorrow.
Wonderful.
All right. I love you, honey.
Love you too, honey. Thanks, and take care.
Okay.